Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to about 6:20 this evening. Virginia Tech basketball comes your way when we are done. The Commanders have built themselves a strong foundation on the field. They have their future lined up. You got to start thinking about yours. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help. That's the law firm, Condori and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you at Grant and Danny. That's kmlawyers.com. Reminder, Friday, we are out in Manassas at Uptown Alley for a Friday field trip. We're going to be partying ahead of the Commanders and the Lions. Wear your burgundy and gold. Come on out and have a good time. There will be food. There will be drinks. There will be fellowship. Should be a blast. Let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, the former general manager of the New England Patriots, Scott Pioli. Scott, we wanted to get you back on because you were one of the first guests we had on after Jaden Daniels was drafted, who told us what a special young man he was, and you were all over it.
Yeah, I was so fortunate to, you know, I do consulting work for a number of college football programs, and Brian Kelly would have me spend time with certain players. And I remember the day I first met Jaden and trying to figure him out, right? And in the sense that the way he carried himself and the energy that appeared, but the energy that he had internally didn't look the same. And he's just, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about more personal stuff, me getting to know him. And I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for DQ. I'm for AP. He's just, what you guys are getting as a player is right on what I hoped and thought it was going to be. But what you guys are going to have in the community for hopefully, you know, more than a decade moving forward, he's just an amazing young man. And he's just the same dude every day, all the time, same guy.
What's the best attribute? I mean, it's hard to pick. There's a lot of things that I like. This has been such a wonderful ride, Scott. But what's the thing that kind of sets him apart? Because there have been a lot of talented guys. There have been a lot of nice guys. There have been a lot of, you know, good kids. But it just feels different here. What's like that one seed that you put at the top of the page?
I think that's – it's dangerous to ever put things as the one thing or the top thing. But I think one of the many things it starts with is that he's the same guy every day. It's consistency. And that's what people want out of leaders, right? In order to sustain true and genuine leadership and followership, you want to know what to expect. You understand that things may get different. What the players and his teammates don't need is that dude to change, right? The circumstances, the situations, those things are going to change. But if you're getting the same thing, at least you know that there's real authenticity there. And to me, that's near the top of the list, that he's the same guy all the time, every day. But I don't think you can overlook one of the biggest things that I determined about him and spending time with him is that he's both smart and thoughtful, right? And there's a lot of people that are smart that aren't necessarily thoughtful. And then there's thoughtful people who aren't real smart. He's got a really nice combination of both of those things. And he also has this internal energy and passion and commitment that you really can't coach, right? He has a rare work ethic And while he was at LSU, he learned the proper and appropriate work habits. I mean, he knew some before that, but he really honed them in his 2 years at LSU for sure.
Scott Pioli is a three-time Super Bowl champ and a three-time Executive of the Year. Now, you may not be a good person to ask this, too, because I feel like the Patriots, year in and year out, were just expected to win in the playoffs, and it almost became the norm. And you guys didn't really go on the magical carpet ride, I guess, after that first season. But what's being experienced here in D.C. is mind-blowing. They win the 12 games in year one. Nobody saw that. Then they go to Tampa as an underdog and they win. You know, now I know they're a big underdog against Detroit, but there's this kind of growing quiet confidence here. What's that like in a locker room if you've ever been around something like that where it almost doesn't matter what kind of chance people are giving them anymore? They really do believe they got the goods right now.
Yeah, I would say that was our first Super Bowl season, right? We were coming off a 5-11 season. We had signed 23 free agents, and none of them were household name guys. You know, it was Mike Compton, Mark Edwards, and, you know, guys like that. Joe Andruzzi off the street. To me, it's a quiet confidence. And I'll say this, you know, DQ, you know, when I was with him in Atlanta, he has this ability to get players focused and say, hey, listen, the outside stuff, you're going to hear it. It's out there. You're going to hear it from your family. Ignore it the best you can. Don't listen to it, right? DQ's, he's not full of it in any way. And I think watching this team now kind of reminds me, and I'm trying to be careful because I want to manage expectations, because I don't expect them to win the Super Bowl, and that's not a knock at them at all, right? I expect them to think about what's happening this week. And I think the tough part comes is when you're good and you know you're good and you're playing collectively better than what the parts are, which is what I think, you know, the Commanders are doing right now, other people's expectations become unrealistic. And if and when this does end, I hope that everyone remains supportive and encouraged, because it's never going to be a straight line, right? After our first Super Bowl, we didn't even make the playoffs the next year, and then we got good. Understand that this is still, as magnificent this season is, this is still the beginning of the process for the Washington Commanders.
Scott Pioli with us here on G&D. And you mentioned the beginning of the process, Scott. I was actually talking to a dad this morning, dropped my kids off at school. Detroit's a couple of years ahead of Washington in this build. Their first year when they did this, you know, Dan Campbell takes over. I think they were 4-13, if memory serves. That's probably where Washington should be. And here they are, you know, 12 regular season wins out of 13th in the first round of the playoffs. So to me, I'm going, you know, they haven't even had a chance to really do the overhaul yet. Usually it's kind of like you're power washing the previous regime's pieces, and you don't have, you know, all the $100 million worth of talent and the years of draft picks kind of layered. They couldn't be more ahead of the game here. Would love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, you said the $100 million players. I love that. That's a great thought, because don't ever get salaries confused with having good players and a good team, right? Just because a player is high-priced and a quote-unquote star player, that's not necessarily going to translate to success. And I think they're just doing such a good job right now, and they're putting other elements in place. Because here's what's happening. The product on the field is very good right now, but you have to build this infrastructure, right? That's a part of what Detroit has done. Now, I saw a quote by Dan Campbell today. I'd love to say that he stole my quote, but I stole it from Parcells, so he stole it from Parcells too. And he talked about, it's not the best 53, it's the right 53, because teams win championships and individuals go to Pro Bowls. Dan Quinn, I know, believes in that. Adam Peters, Adam learned working with us in New England. He understands that talent is important. You have to have a certain degree of talent, but what you have to do is build a team, and there has to be an infrastructure and within the organization. Player development is not just on the field. It's behind the scenes. It's the right trainers. It's right. They're still in the process of getting all of these things in place. And there's people that the big thing that you're going to have to face at some point in time is there's attrition due to success. And you have to have a developmental talent pool throughout your organization, because there's going to be, once you start having success, there's going to be talent drain. Again, not only on the field, but throughout. I mean, people are talking about Cliff Kingsbury, you know, becoming a head coach. That's probably going to happen at some point in time. Well, who's next? How are we developing? Who are we developing? It's organizational.
Scott Pioli, you see why we wanted him on the show. Great insight, not only on Jaden Daniels, but was with Adam Peters as well, joining us here on Grant and Danny. And I think I shortchanged you. You had three Pro Football Writers Association Executive of the Year awards, but you won a couple others as well. So I don't want to shortchange you. That's five-time Executive of the Year.
I appreciate it, but you know what those awards mean? It means you're surrounded by a lot of really good, talented, hardworking people. And you know, those awards were cool and all, but man, we had so many good people, so many that went on to be GMs themselves. So I was blessed to have the right people around me.
Well, to that point,
and a pretty good quarterback and a pretty good head coach.
He was fine.
That didn't hurt. I want to ask you about a couple of those people. Mike Vrabel's back in New England as the head coach now.
Yeah.
And first of all, it's a perfect fit. It makes sense. But they're now an org that's going to have three head coaches in 3 years, which, just to think about that, that's kind of a Washington or a Cleveland type thing, is wild. What do you make of not only Vrabel coming back, and is this kind of what they needed to become stable again?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited for Mike. I think the world. He is a dear and close friend. I'm disappointed for Gerard, right? I think, Robert, or Mr. Kraft, he's Robert to me, he came out and I love that he owned that. He felt that maybe he pulled the trigger too quick and it happened too soon. And Gerard, I believe, is a really good football coach. I know he's a really good football coach. That was part of my last draft at the Patriots. And I just hope he settles in after this and continues to get to work, and some point gets time to be, you know, gets this opportunity again. In terms of Mike, I can't tell you how excited I am, because Mike is one of the smartest football people and best leaders that I've ever been around. That's why when I left the Patriots, Mike and I were together 8 years. It was part of signing him as a free agent. We brought him in on a 2-year deal. I think we gave him like $1.50 or $1.25 signing bonus, and he became a starter for us. He had never been a starter. But watching the leader that he turned into, and his football intelligence and his ability to, as a player, to teach his teammates and make sure that everyone understood things and hold people accountable was pretty amazing. You know, and when I left and go to Kansas City to become the general manager there, one of my first orders of business was to trade for him and Matt Cassel. So Mike and I spent 10 years together. And I, you know, after I was fired from the Chiefs, Mike was one of the first people to reach out to me. And again, a lot of people know, you know, Mike the tough guy and see that, and he is all that. But he's also a very compassionate human being. He's one of the first people to reach out to me and say, hey, listen, I know you're probably going to need to get away. Why don't you come out to Columbus? He was coaching defensive line at Ohio State at the time. So why don't you come out, see me and Jen, stay with us, and just be around football people for a while. So I'm excited for Mike because I know he's going to be really good. He has been really good. But I'm just excited for him, the person as well.
Scott Cookham, before we let you go, you're down a level. UNC just hired this young guy. I think it's Bill Belichick, a younger coach, guy that's not much pedigree resume. I think you know him a little bit. What do you make of that whole thing?
It may have been pronounced in Croatia.
At one point. Just stunning, right?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, reason to apologize.
What a time to be alive.
I mean, what a time, right? I mean, he's, you know, just within a handful of wins of the all-time record, and here he is down in the ACC.
He's walking in a high school hallway the other day recruiting.
Like, Mom and Dad, I want your son to be a Tar Heel. Like, it's amazing.
It really is. But, again, I think that goes back to much of what Bill is about. You know, again, I was fortunate. I got to know Bill when I was a sophomore in college, and that was before he was rock star Bill, and he's a teacher. You know, his mom was a school teacher. His dad was a coach and teacher. That's who he is and what he is at the core. And again, I know there's times he doesn't want to be mixed up in the mess and the silliness. And he's a teacher and he's a football coach. And this, he wasn't sure. I wouldn't want to speak for him. My understanding was that he wasn't sure what opportunities he was going to have. And he was not going to sit another year out of football. And being around football, competition, and teaching.
Scott, we appreciate the time. Excellent, as always. Wonderful insight on so many of the people in the news. When you have a legendary career like you did with so many successes, I guess you know everyone in the league. So it's great to get you on. Thank you so much.
Thank Grant. Really appreciate you guys having me. Can't wait to watch this game, man.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm gonna tell you what. There's gonna be a lot of bodies flying and a lot of snot flying from some of those hits this weekend.
No doubt. He's not alone. We're all counting down to the Commanders and the Lions 104 this weekend. Now, they were never probably gonna play on Sunday because the Rams had a Monday night game, and once Green Bay lost, it was pretty clear that it was Vikings-Rams at the Eagles. So that game had to be on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have Washington-Detroit with Detroit off of a bye and the Commanders playing on Sunday and the Rams or Vikings playing on Monday, not give them the extra day. But I will say I would have preferred probably the Sunday kick.
Me too. So for sake of argument, if it was Steelers-Broncos, Washington would have been on Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I would
right?
think so.
Yeah.
Sure. But I don't know about you. I just kind of feel like an extra day of rest would have helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You got back super late. I'm trying to think of when I walked out of the locker room. It was probably almost 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they were barely getting ready to get on the buses and stuff. Then you get to the airport. Then you fly home. Then you land. You lose pretty much the entire Monday. So it's Tuesday before you're kind of coming back to life. I bet you're still feeling a little bit of that fatigue and stuff until Wednesday back on the practice field. And then you got a game on Saturday. And oh, by the way, now you're playing a team that had a bye and has been sitting around for 2 weeks. So it's just another reason. It's just another way to stack the deck against you. And it's by design. You're the sixth seed.
Yeah.
You're the wild card. And the regular season should matter. Like being the number one seed, you should get the benefit.
You should get privileges, 100%.
Of a bye week and a home game. And it should be really, really hard to get knocked off. But the Commanders just don't seem to care about any of that stuff. And it's not like this team's going to be feeling tired when the ball's in the air.
Yeah, it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself, right? Like how unfair something is. Any complaint that Washington might have is relevant, and it's correct. Someone could go, that's adorable. How about the Rams? They've gotten a lot more to complain about than you do. So shut up and get down to business. Nobody cares. No one's here to feel sorry for you. I remember talking to Mike Rizzo for so many years when they deal with injuries. And he's like, well, it's not like the other team's not going to pitch their best guy. You know what I mean? Like, you have a couple guys that are hurt. Sorry, we got to go play. The game's still on the calendar. You got to go do it. So they've adopted this attitude. It's not just something you turn on and off, but you go play. I mean, you go get in a little street fight style with these guys and see what happens.
It's also nice that the injury report doesn't reflect any major issues. Now, they had a couple of things that went on in that game where you thought, oh, no, maybe this guy's not going to be quite right. But Daron Payne is going to be playing through the break in the finger, whatever that was. It looks as though pretty much they're going to be all systems go. Bobby Wagner didn't practice today. He's still dealing with an ankle. So that's one guy that's not going to be near 100%, but you know he's not going to miss that game.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be playing in his 18th career playoff game. Zane Gonzalez yesterday was limited in practice, was dealing with some kind of a hip issue. To the point where they had to work out kickers this morning. And I guess yesterday.
This will never end, by the way.
It's so true. But Zane did practice in full today, so they're back to, I'm sure, feeling like he's going to be all set and good to go.
Hope so, man. I can't do, what would that be, their seventh kicker this year? If Zane couldn't go?
If you're counting the training camp and in off-season guys?
I don't even know what I'm counting anymore,
if
honestly.
You're counting McManus, then I think that would be kicker number seven.
Golly.
On the season. Big thanks to our producers behind the scenes, Darius, Ryan, Toby, making it work today. Grant and Danny saying so long. Remember, tomorrow we are in studio, a Thursday show. We're going to be previewing the national championship, getting you ready for playoff football. We'll have Danny Cannell on at 5:30. And then Friday, our pep rally. We're in Manassas. That's going to be a good time.
Uptown Alley at Manassas, that place rules. Come see your pals.
Thank you for coming.